Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Today, our show has got three amazing guests. I am so excited. We're going to be talking about quilting. We're going to be talking about fabric. We're going to be talking about entering your quilts in a show, which will be really, really fun. So my first guest, I actually met via her quilts because people were coming to me at one of the shows and saying, have you seen this quilt? And I had to go see it because it was truly amazing. And then I had to meet the lady who made it. Lori Tigner is a designer and a quilter extraordinaire. She is an award-winning quilter. And I thought it would be very exciting to have her come on and tell us a little bit about her adventure into quilt making and about the types of quilts that she does. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Good. Hi, Pat.
So, Lori, you know, how did you find quilting? This is not your first career.
No. I was a nurse for 28 years, and prior to that was an art teacher. So I always loved art and always sewed, but I had to wait till I retired from nursing to get started.
Have you found that there's a lot of nurses who quilt? Have you noticed that?
Tons of them. It's therapy for us.
Yeah. See, some of them didn't wait, Lori. They were quilting while they were still working.
Well, I was an icon painter, so I painted instead of quilted, and then went to a quilt show when I was thinking about retiring, and went nuts. It was gorgeous, the colors, everything about it.
So. I love the fact that you went nuts. I mean, it's like, did you just start? Did you actually quilt before you went to that first quilt show?
No, I had always sewn. I'd been sewing my clothes since I was just a kid, but I actually had made a quilt for my granddaughter cutting the pieces with scissors. I had no idea what a rotary cutter was. It was terrible. It was tied together. It had a piece of flannel as the batting. I had no clue. And so we'll pretend that never even happened. But it was sort of like being pregnant for the first time. All you can think about is baby. Well, all I could think about was quilts.
You know, and being that you already sewed and that you already drew, did you start out making traditional quilts, Lori, once you discovered this, or did you sort of jump right into your own designs?
Well, I did make one from a pattern.
one.
And found out it was very hard. It had paper piecing, and
oh my.
I thought, I can learn it all in one quilt, so
yeah.
That was a big mistake. But my husband decided I needed a long arm machine. He said, you'll do better with that, and he was right. That didn't scare me like the piecing did, so I kind of started backwards.
Oh, my. Yeah, I think most people would just be, like, really surprised to hear that because the machines are so large, long-arm machines, and paper piecing is so tiny that, you know, the big machines,
I think. It is, but, you know, for me, it was that sort of what you're drawing is what you're sewing or quilting, so it was an easy step. And anybody who draws could pick up on a long arm in 10 minutes. And so that kind of gave me, I don't have a lot of self-confidence, and that helped. I'm still learning to piece, but the long arm is an easy and fun escape. So,
well, your long arming is just amazing, Lori. Just absolutely amazing. I can see where your artistic ability, you've translated that into the thread and the colors and everything in your work. Tell me a little bit about your decision to put quilts into a show.
Well, it was sort of an accident. I had joined a guild, and made, after that first pattern, I just started making up my own designs, and people said, oh, you should enter it. And I thought, well, okay, now how do you do that? And they told me, and I did it. I was sort of just following their lead. They kind of led me around like a little puppy because I had no clue. And so my first one got in the show in Des Moines and got an honorable mention, and it was just too cool. I know those ribbons don't cost more than 50 cents a piece, but oh my gosh, they're so beautiful.
I think that that's the amazing part, is to be able to showcase, you know, when you put your quilt in a show, everybody can be inspired. And I always think that that's wonderful that that happens. Tell me a bit about your Madonna quilt.
Well, I'm actually working on another one right now, and I have painted icons for about 25 years, and in all the traditional, very traditional materials, and with the recipes for the mixing of the pure pigments that have been handed down through canon law through the centuries.
Wow.
And it's very unwavering. You use 24 karat gold and surgeon glue and rabbit skin glue and linen. I mean, all these really exotic, wonderful, stinky things. And so when I saw the quilt show, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to make an icon quilt. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's the first fabric I bought, was everything to make an icon. And it's still in a box. I haven't done that one. But I did, because of the long arm being easier, I painted on fabric and then quilted it, and that was my first icon quilt. It was easier than trying to applique all the fabric on and stuff, and it just, it's sort of like combining my two loves, and now, of course, quilting has taken over, but...
Well, so that quilt, which people can see at your website, Lori Tigner, T-I-G-N-E-R, Designs, that's all one word, .com, and on your gallery page. So you painted her. And
I did. That one I did with colored pencils. Wasn't sure of different techniques. And the one I just did is done with watercolor ink, so it's more permanent and a little more vibrant. So, you know, I'm learning about the different things that are out there, and it's just trying different techniques with the same sort of designs.
Now, are you mostly quilting for yourself, or do you also take on commissions or quilting for others?
Well, when I first started, I had that big machine to pay for, and it's sort of like having a car in your living room, you know. And it was my, you know, retirement gift to myself. But still, you got to pay for it. So I did a lot of customer quilts, and I still do occasionally, just more just because I want something to quilt. And but I spend more of my time working on designs now.
Right. I love quilting. It's, I mean, you've just quilted a piece for Orfel that I have here at my house because I'm putting the binding on for it. And it is just amazing. It's just, I love seeing it up close. I get to touch it. That's
thank you. Well, I now, was so tickled you let me do it.
Well, you know, it was very nice to for you to do that for them, and me to be able to finish it up, and we're going to be able to hang it at some shows, and it's going to go to their offices in Milan, so that'll be pretty cool. Yeah. So tell me, at some point, Lori, you sort of decided to branch out and put your designs into patterns so that other people could do similar to you, you know, similar work that you're doing. What kind of patterns are you producing? Are they all, you know, icons, or do you have some other things?
No, they started out, I love Halloween. I love decorating for it. And I made a quilt with a lot of different Halloween designs called Pumpkin Patch. It was probably the third or fourth quilt I had made. and I took it to the little local quilt Saturday show and tell at the quilt shop, and everyone said, "Ooh, make a pattern." So I did, because they said to, and I like to people please, and then I had to sell it because I had it, and people start, you know, it just sort of went in that direction, and so a lot of my things are fun, you know, Halloween and Christmas fun things, but I've done a lot of angels. I love angels, and just whatever people ask me to do, it, I sort of went in that direction a little bit, but they're all applique.
Neat. Now, tell me, here before we end, tell me your fun story about going to the very first quilt show, and you were going to attend a show and tell.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I knew nothing about quilting.
Right.
I still know a lot, don't know a lot. But I had gone to that AQS show in Des Moines because I had the quilt in the show, and it was the first show I ever went to. And I wanted to take a class, but I didn't have much money, and there was a $10 class. And I thought, well, I can take that one. And it was a show and tell. Trunk show is, I think, how it was labeled. So I thought, ooh, you know, 10, 15 people, they'll critique our quilts, tell us what we're doing wrong, and it'll be a great little interactive session. Well, I went upstairs, and there was a long line, as far as you could see, and around a corner, and all these women were holding quilts. And so I immediately figured I was in the wrong place. I said, you know, and I asked, and they said, no, this is Eleanor Burns. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So they pointed to the end of the line. Well, it went down, took a left, and went down again. I bet there were 500 people in that room.
Right.
And it was like a cult. They were doing the waves and all these hand motions.
Oh, yes.
I had no idea who this woman was. She was the nicest thing. And, you know, it was a great learning, great introduction to Eleanor Burns.
Well, Lori, this has been lovely to have you on the show, and I just love hearing your first experiences. Everybody has to come visit Lori at loritignerdesigns.com. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Pat. It was great.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Death Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my! Kissing Booth by Vasek Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7 Series. Bernina, made to create.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts & More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. In this segment, we're going to talk fabric, which we all love if we quilt. I am a huge fan of the website TrueUp.net. And the tagline for this website is all fabric, all the time. You know, you have to love a site that is all about fabric. And I just thought it would be really fun to have Kim Kite on. She is the power behind this site. She is also an author with C&T for a book called Field Guide to Fabric. And we're going to talk about trends and her book and her site. Hi, Kim.
Hello. So wonderful to be on. I've always wanted to be on here.
Oh, good. This is just, I just love, I mean, who can't love a site about fabric? Why in the world did you decide to do this site?
I think because I wanted there to be a site just about fabric, and there wasn't one. So I thought, hey, it's a pretty good idea.
So what is the name True Up? How did that come about?
That's, it was taught to me by my first sewing teacher, Leslie Bonnell, who runs the Stitch Lab in Austin, mm-hmm. And it's straightening up the edges of your fabric to make them square.
Yes, a technical term.
Yes. It was the only one that was left.
How long have you had this website?
Since 2008, April, yeah.
Okay. So it has, did you change, has the site changed? What is the content of it? Tell everybody that first, because they may not know it.
Oh, sure. I cover all kinds of different types of fabric, mostly printed, interviews with designers. I try to have education about different types of fabrics. Like I once had a silk series and a linen series. And I just try to cover a diverse array of fabrics from all around the world.
Right,
releases.
Yeah, I like that about what you do, Kim, because you don't just have quilting cotton, which is nice because people like to have some other things and see what there's all kinds of fabric that we can use in a quilt.
I think so. I mean, there is a lot of divide between the different sewing communities, but it seems like most people I run into who quilt also like to sew, just like to sew anything, so.
Anything.
Just love fabric.
Yes. So you're following for your site. Do you find that you have people who sew, like garment makers, home deck, and quilters? Is it like that whole group of people?
Yeah, all that. I think it's heavier probably on the quilters and craft kind of sewing.
Mm-hmm. How has it changed since you first started? Because, you know, this many years, I'm sure that it looks different than your first, you know, year.
Oh, well, I think maybe if anything, I cover less quilting cotton than I used to. Because mm-hmm. when I started, it was because I kind of wanted to cover the more modern prints that were kind of rare in that day,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now there are so many, I can't even keep up with it. So I guess my quilting cotton coverage is more concentrated around market time, and I mm-hmm. do really in-depth coverage of the markets and try to get every interesting collection on there.
Yeah, you
and
go to market
the rest of the year. Mm-hmm.
You actually go to market so that you can see and interview people and take photos, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So, I have a question about your. I don't know if it's a certain day of the week because I haven't kept track. But you do like a day where you put out the sales that are going on.
Yeah, sales. I think I've always done that too. That's always a favorite. Yeah, and I think that's almost what started mm-hmm. True Up is because I used to sit on Sunday mornings and drink coffee and look at the eQuilter sale and like look at all the new stuff that came out, look at their sales and probably order something. And so So I think I just started compiling all the sales into a post. And
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, even if you don't like the fabric I cover, you probably like the sale alerts.
Yeah. Is that like on Sundays, or is it a different day? What day is that?
It kind of jumps around. Is it from the weekends, Saturday
or
Sunday?
Oh, okay. So where do you find all of these unusual fabrics? Do people just send you links now, or do you spend a lot of time looking?
Oh, yeah. I get sent things. I just surf around a lot. Pinterest helps a lot these days for finding very obscure thing and reaching into the different areas like fashion and home deck, which are kind of harder to get into.
Yeah, there you sort of see the end result more than the beginning result, maybe.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The base. Yeah, you see the dress that they did, but not necessarily where they got the fabric or what it is.
Right.
So let's talk about your book with C&T called A Field Guide to Fabric Design. What, why did you decide to write this, and what's sort of the base of it?
Well, actually, C&T Stash Books came to me. Mm-hmm. I think they thought it was a good time for a book on this subject, designed just for fabric. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, you know, a lot of fabric designers tend to be sort of general surface pattern designers for all kinds of things like stationery and, you know, ceramics and wallpaper and all things like that. But I think because of Spoonflower and all the digital companies becoming more popular and more accessible, I think people are interested in just designing for fabric. And
you find that, don't you find that a bit more in the quilt world too? Is that because, like, for myself and a lot of people who are pattern designers, then we branch out to make fabric too, but we're not really doing stationery and plates for Crate and Barrel or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is a book about making patterns, so it would apply to any kind of surface.
I like that it's broken up so that you sort of explain. I think even people who don't want to design fabric would find the book very interesting because you lay out.
I hope so. Yeah. Anyone just who's interested in fabric. Because it has a lot about different types of prints and the direction and the size of the motifs and the color and value and how sort of, that's supposed to be used.
And you interviewed a lot of designers.
Yes. That was so nice of them.
Was that the fun part?
Yeah, it was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, because you have, like, in there, you'll ask them a question, then you might have, you know, six or seven of them, you know, answering. You know, one of the questions was, you know, what role do current trends play? And I found that one particularly interesting because some designers don't pay any attention to trends and other ones are like right on top of it. It's their bread and butter. So
yeah, and most of them just create trends. So
yeah. Yeah, that's always fun. That's always fun. So let's talk about trends since we since we mentioned it. What are you seeing out there, just from your personal perspective, on quilt trends, quilt fabric trends?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, the last few years, there's been the quilting fabric companies have branched out and produced some apparel fabrics and kind of multi-use fabrics like, you know, Anna Maria Horner's Velveteen and and, you know, there's the lawns and voiles, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
And so, that's been going on for a few years, though. Right now, in terms of motifs, there's triangles are finally reaching quilting fabrics. and
you've seen them outside of quilting fabric, right?
Yeah. Oh, it takes a year. It takes a year, really, for them to be produced. So,
yeah, I've also read once or had somebody tell me that designs that are out in maybe furniture or, you know, sort of clothing, that it takes like multiple years before it works like a theme all the way down into the quilt world. It's just
Well,
we're not at the front. That's yeah. The line.
Well, we evolve our own trends there too.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
We got our own trends. But yeah, I think, do you have a certain colorway that maybe you've seen, you know, that's new, that might be out there now, that's, you know, like the gray and yellow has been there for a little while, or...
Yeah, I think kind of purples and navies, people who've never liked purple are kind of liking it again. It's the whole 80s thing, I think.
Yeah.
And gray. And it's kind of like this coral and rust thing. It's kind of rust color that's pukey on its own, but looks really nice with kind of bright accents like coral or like a blue.
I like that. I like that color part. So tell me real quick here before we're done. You also have an online group for chatting about fabric design.
Yeah, it was it's a kind of companion forum for the book, because I knew when I wrote the book that the, you know, the computer instructions and the information about digital printing would become outdated pretty quickly, because it's evolving very quickly. So I wanted to have a place where people could go and talk about, you know, learn about the new software and, you know, digital fabric places and methods. And
they can get to that from your website on the top bar. It's called Fabric Design Forum at trueup.net. Kim, this has been wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful for me too.
Yeah, so everybody go and visit Kim Kite, and you know, her site is awesome. You've got to go out and hang out there. Trueup.net. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. I'll see you all at Quilt Market.
Okay. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. The second half of the show, I have got author, teacher, and quilt judge, Kimberly Imo, here. She packs her projects with lots of information, and her books are totally fabulous. She has done a brand new book called Pre-Cut Bonanza, and we're going to find out about that. We're going to also talk a lot about entering your quilts in a show and what judges are looking for, because I think it's really, really interesting to know that. Our first guest, Lori, we talked about her entering her quilts. So, you know, just remember that as we go through here. I think it's going to be pretty neat show today. So, hi, Kimberly. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Pat, how you doing? And thank you for having me back. I'm really excited.
Oh, I'm glad to have you back. You have got so much information in that brain of yours. It's like we need to data dump all that out so we can learn everything.
I know. I can't shut it off. What's the problem here? I just can't stop.
It's your creative machine. That's what it is.
Thanks.
It's going all the time. So you are working, you have just finished and released your pre-cut trilogy.
Yes, that's right, through American Quilting Society, Quilter Society.
Yes, yes. And this new book is called Pre-Cut Bonanza.
And it was really because I couldn't stop designing when I had been designing for the two previous books, Jelly Roll Quilts and More, and then Jelly Roll Quilt Magic. I had actually submitted so much information to the publisher, there was more than enough for one book, and we kind of broke it into two. But this new one is a little bit different, a different take on jelly rolls and pre-cuts, because it's a new concept I came up with I like to call modular quilting. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different, and it's making the best use of all those fabulous pre-cuts like jelly rolls and layer cakes and charm squares.
You know, Kimberly, before we talk about the book, I just wanted to just, you and I just chat about this phenomena, of pre-cuts, because they've been going on for years. People are writing book after book after book. I've written one. You've written several. Other people have. And are you still finding it amazing that there are more ideas still coming out, new fresh quilts?
Absolutely. I thought it was a fad. I thought when it first came out, it just wasn't going to have the staying power. And it has amazed me that it is around, it's been around this long and still going so strong. And it seems like there are more and more converts to pre-cuts because it makes quilting so accessible and quick and easy. And it's not just for the pre-cut bundles you can buy. A lot of people are really doing stash reduction. This is a great way to use up what you have and make some of those older or even the ugly fabrics in your stash usable again, because when you cut them down into strips and squares, they become fresh and new and exciting, and it's a great way to use those fabrics that have been languishing around for years. So it's not just about the bundles that you can buy, although those are fabulous too. It really is about making the fabrics that you have on hand usable by cutting them down to usable sizes.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent, excellent point, because you and I both go out on the road and we teach, and I will go to an event and there will be people who haven't bought them yet. So there's still people who haven't tried them. Maybe they haven't seen that one quilt yet that just says, hey, this is going to be easy to do.
And a lot of people have the idea that, oh, they make great rail fence quilts or log cabin quilts, but what else can you do with them? So I think a lot of people just have not gotten on board yet or just finding out that there are so many more things you can do with these usable sizes, these pre-cut sizes, and it's opening up a whole new world of options, design opportunities.
Yeah, in your new book, let's talk a little bit about this concept that you have, because I think it's really fabulous, and it's people are just going to go, holy cow, you know, this is, you're making them. I think you and I talked about it. You were like letting everybody be a design diva with this.
That's right. I think everybody has it within them to, you know, design their own wonderful quilts, basically from simple units and shapes that we are all familiar with. And it kind of struck me, you've seen those like closet systems or, you know, these modular things that you can take these different units and put them together to create a wall of cabinets or a wall of storage or whatever. And it struck me that, oh, if we could just take four patches and half square triangles and flying geese and simple basic units and put them together in different ways, could create, you know, unlimited number of blocks in different sizes, and the potential is just endless.
So how is your book set up? You know, how do people approach working with your book?
Oh, it's really easy. That's the best part. You can just start with basic units like squares, rectangles, and triangles. And by putting those together in different units, and I do it in a recipe format. So if you have two rectangles together to create a square, it's called a double rectangle unit. If you put three triangles together to form a square, it becomes a triple triangle unit. And I label each one of these simple units and tell you how to make them, how you would make them from 2.5-inch strips, how you would make them from charm squares. And then once you can master putting these simple units together, then I have a whole library of 200 blocks in sizes from 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, and then what I call big block sizes, like 20, 24, and even 30-inch sizes. And you can combine these squares together to create these bigger blocks. So it's done like a recipe. And of course, as you're putting these blocks together, I have a little recipe formula right next to each block that would tell you, oh, for this block, you're going to need 6 squares, 4 double rectangle units, and 4 triple triangle units. So it's done recipe format.
Ooh, that's really cool. That's an interesting way to look at it. I like the big block part.
Yeah, me too. I love big blocks because they're so fast and you get a really big quilt in a hurry.
Yeah. Are you using big shapes for your big block, or are you making a big block out of 2-inch squares?
No, well, you can, and you really can, but that takes a little more time, but no, I like to use great big units, like flying geese that measure 6 by 12. I mean, that's really big flying geese units, or starting with big squares that are maybe 8 inches or 10 inches, and then building bigger units, you know, larger units around them. So you can get like a 24-inch block with basic construction, and it makes a really big showy block. Put 4 of those together or 6 of those together, and you have a nice twin-size quilt in a hurry with some borders added.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like my kind of, yeah.
And it works great with fat quarters, too. So that's another way. People love to buy fat quarters. You know, that's like eye candy when you go into a store. Mm-hmm. You know, they just pick up fat quarters because they're fast and easy. And then a lot of people think, well, they go home and they just kind of get tucked in the stash. Well, fat quarters work great for these big blocks because you can get so many usable units out of them, like those big squares or those big flying geese, and to put together for big blocks.
And, you know, fat quarters are the original pre-cuts.
They are. They didn't even know it at the time.
I know. We didn't have that word yet.
That's right. And I just don't see the fad going away. I really don't. So I wanted to do something a little different with this book. It's more of a method book than a project book, although I do have some projects for sampler quilts in there. Because the idea is, if you can master making all these different little units or the building blocks, you can do anything from that point. You just follow the little recipes and put together all these different blocks. And soon, people are making blocks they didn't even realize they could put together. So that's the real fun of it.
Now, you just did a little tour down in Texas and visited a bunch of people and did book signings. Was it for this book?
Yes, it was. It absolutely was. I was the teacher that was a win a teacher contest for the American Quilter Society last year at Quilt Market, and the Cabbage Rose Quilt Shop in Texas had won me. So the owner did a fabulous job of promoting the event, and we had a huge turnout. It was just loads of fun. And then while I was there, I also went up to Beaumont and visited the Quilt Guild there and spent 3 wonderful days with that group of talented gals. And we had 2 workshops, and I did 2 lectures for them, and it was just really a good time.
So when you're teaching, are you primarily right now teaching with pre-cuts, or
yes.
Okay, so that's your primarily
that is
what you're doing.
Yeah, everyone. In fact, I have other classes that I teach, but when I've been contacted by these different groups, they always want me to teach the pre-cuts or the jelly roll quilts or something having to do with the pre-cuts, which I'm happy to do because it's a lot of fun. And the other thing that's really great is no matter what kind of fabrics people will bring, either the bundles that they buy in the store or, you know, strips and squares cut from their stash, the quilts are all entirely different, which is really exciting and a great way to get inspiration by just walking around and seeing what everybody else is doing.
I know. That's the best part about a class. It's like, Oh, I know. And I like tell people, be sure you walk around and look at what everybody else is doing. Don't keep just down on your own project, you know, your nose to your own project, because then you miss out on some really neat color combinations and fabric choices.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, even I get really inspired when I see some of the color combinations they're coming up with, and I'm thinking, I need to run home and make a quilt out of those colors. You know, so it works to inspire me too. It's really fun, and the great thing with pre-cuts and even, you know, the pre-cuts from your stash, it's all going to work together in these quilts, and it's going to be a scrappy look, but it's going to all blend and coordinate beautifully, and that's what makes it so fun and effortless, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's just it's amazing to work like this. We're gonna actually take a little break, Kimberly.
Absolutely.
And then when we come back, you and I are going to talk about why you should enter a quilt in a quilt show. You as a judge, you're going to tell me, we're going to talk about judging, you know, how you look at the quilts. So we're going to take a little break with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and we'll be right back.
All right, thanks.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to author, designer, and quilt judge, Kimberly Imo. And remember, her website is Kimberly Imo, EINMO.com. So you can go visit it. So Kimberly, we're going to talk about quilt shows because it is such a huge part of being a quilter is to go to a quilt show.
That's right.
I find this because my personal style is applique in a folk art manner, mm-hmm. which is sort of large shapes, simple shapes, and you don't see a lot of these kind of quilts that I do entered in shows. It's really not sort of the quilts people enter. But people say to me, oh, we never see quilts that we like in the show. And I always say to them, well, you have to enter your quilt.
That's exactly right.
You can't see it there.
And I wish there were more of that because there's absolutely a place for folk art applique. Absolutely a place for that in these shows.
Now, how did you decide, let's back up like one little step, why or how did you decide to be a quilt judge?
It was about 10 or 11 years ago, and I had been teaching at the Quilters Heritage show in Pennsylvania at the mm-hmm. time, and the organizer asked me if I would judge a show. And I said, well, I'd love to, but I hadn't done it before. And she said, that's okay. And brought me on board, and I worked with several other judges and really picked their brains beforehand, and they were very helpful and welcoming and mentors, great mentors. Mm-hmm. And so I just soaked up everything that I could soak up, learned as much as I could, and kind of just did it from there, and then got asked to do more and more regional or local shows and never turned down an opportunity because I wanted to grow and just expand. And I love it. I consider it such a privilege to be a judge. It is one of my all-time favorite things, and I am always humbled and in awe of the beauty and creativity that I see whenever I'm judging a show.
Yeah, I had an opportunity, you and I were in Vermont to teach, and you did the judging, and I had an opportunity to hear you give the, I guess it was your judge's choice?
Yes.
Yes, and I just loved the way that you presented that to the person and talked about how you felt about her quilt and why you thought her quilt was the one that you personally felt the most connected to. That must be the most joyous thing for you personally to be able to award a judge's choice.
It absolutely is. That is the best part. I look for a quilt. I like to try to choose a quilt for a judge's choice that may not have won an award. Actually, I like to try to find a quilt that has heart and creativity, one where you stand in front of it and you can absolutely feel the love emanating from it. I know that sounds a little hokey, but I still look for workmanship and the craftsmanship that went into it and the handiwork, but I also look for the love and the design, and I try to find something that someone has done that's original and unique, and usually it's something very personal to the quilt maker. Mm-hmm. And I also have all of the descriptions read to me. Some judges don't do that. They don't want to hear the description or be influenced. I always ask for each and every description of a quilt to be read to me before I judge it, because I feel like it's a privilege for me to stand there and look at somebody's work, and if they took the time to write something about it and explain the process or explain something that was special to them, mm-hmm. then I owe them the time to hear what they had to say. I think that's very important. So I'm a little different in that respect when it comes to judging, but I just think I owe that to the quilt maker to hear what they have to say about their quilt.
Yeah, I think that is an important part for a quilter. I think a lot of us want to share a story because many of our quilts do have a story.
That's right.
Let's talk about how we can encourage, we as an industry, you and I as people, how can we encourage people to enter their quilts? Because a lot of people, their first reaction is, oh, I don't want to be judged. I don't want anybody to be critical of my work. We're already so critical of our own workmanship. And of course, part of the judging process is looking for the highest level of excellence, which means...
Well, of course it is. You know. But whenever I'm judging, I always ask for a scribe to write comments because I think it's really important to point out the things that are done really, really well. And the last thing I would ever, ever want to do is write something on that critique sheet that would make a quilter read it and say, well, I'm never doing this again. Because mm-hmm. I want to encourage and, you know, hopefully get them to strive to do better, but I'll always put one constructive comment about a way that maybe they can improve next time or something, you know, that they could have done a little bit different, but always in an encouraging way. I try really hard to word things so that nothing comes across as being a put down or mm-hmm. to make them feel bad or to scare them off for doing it again. And I think it's really important that we do try to get the message out that they should enter their shows. So many people have gorgeous quilts, and they need to be shared. They need to be shared not only with the judges, but, of course, the audience, the people that will be seeing them. And I think it's really important.
But people go to the show, they get very excited. They would love to see quilts like they like to make.
Right.
And the only way to get those quilts in there is if all of us were to start entering our quilts.
That's correct. And there are it's really sad because there are some shows where there's some categories that there are only two or three quilts. I think there should be more, like applique or you know, even the modern quilts. There's a place for every quilt, whether it's an art quilt or traditional or applique or reproduction style. I mean, there is a place for it in these shows, and they should. It's a way to get recognized for the work and the, you know, sometimes the sweat and tears that you put into it, because not all quilts are easy to make. You know, sometimes people get frustrated, but it's worth it in the end, especially when you have something that's beautiful. And I think every quilt has something wonderful and beautiful about it, and it should be recognized.
Yeah, the Lori that I talked to here at the beginning of the show, she did come from an art background, and she just jumped in, you know, and made a quilt and entered it. I mean, I just think that was amazing that she hadn't made very many quilts when she entered a quilt in a show, just to give it a try. And so what can a person who's never entered, what can we say, what can you say that would encourage them to take that step to enter a quilt?
Just dive right in. There is no time like the present. There are tons of different shows to enter, all kinds of different, whether it's regional or national or even, you know, the state fair. There are lots of places that you can enter, and I would encourage them to enter where they will be juried or judged. And there's different quilt shows, like the Vermont Quilt Festival, where there is no jury. You just have to submit your entry by a certain deadline. Mm-hmm. So really, there should be no fear in entering. You have nothing to lose, and you may end up with a ribbon or cash prize or, you know, bragging rights. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just don't know until you try, and in the process, you may find that it's just a really rewarding experience.
Yeah, I haven't entered one personally for a while. It's sort of like on my list of things. Way back in the beginning, I entered three or four, and I just won, and they hung in the shows, and it really was amazing. I'm not an award-winning quilter. You know, my work is not sort of at that level, but I did enjoy being able to stand there and hear people talk about my quilt and share because I was there. I could tell them about it, why I made it. It was really exciting.
Yeah, it is. And it is fun to be there and to hear people talking about it or taking pictures or, you know, looking at it and saying, wow, isn't that neat? Or what great color she chose? Or, you know, there's always something wonderful about every quilt, and they should be shown. One thing I'd love to say is, as a judge, and you didn't ask this question, I'm jumping in here, but when you submit a quilt, there's two things that I can suggest right off the bat that will give you a leg up on your competition. You would be amazed how many quilts that I've seen that where they don't take time to snip all the stray threads, or they don't just take a lint brush and take the cat and dog hair off. And that really is it's an easy fix, and yet so many people don't, and then you get up to a quilt and it's covered in cat hair. You just want to think, oh, if they had just taken a lint roller and lint rolled it real good before they sent it in, that would be a really good thing they could do that would increase their chances of possibly winning a ribbon.
And the show doesn't do any of that for people.
No.
They're just going to hang it as it arrives.
As is. As it arrives, it will be hung. It will be, I've never seen a place where they didn't hang them with, like, gloves. You know, they take really good care to hang them and, you know, make sure that they're cared for and hung well. But they won't do any of that lint rolling or, you know, smoothing it out or trimming threads. They definitely won't do anything like that. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that all those little finishing touches are done first before you send it off.
And is there one more thing that you can give people, you know, maybe a tip for what makes an award-winning quilt?
Yeah, I'd say it's the binding. You'd be surprised how many fabulous quilts you see that could be top prize winners, and the execution is just brilliant, and you get to the binding, and you think, oh, my gosh, they just slapped it on. So don't, you know, even if you're on a deadline to get it done, take the time to do your bindings well. Because we do check bindings and make sure your thread tension's good, all those things. But you'd be amazed at how many times a bad binding can ruin what would have been an award-winning quilt.
Right, because at that point, it's a choice between maybe two quilts. You're going to take the one with the highest level of excellence.
That's right, and sometimes it'll come down to the binding.
Yeah. Well, Kimberly,
I
know, I know. Kimberly, this has been so amazing to have you back on. I really appreciate all this chat about the quilt shows. I think it's really great to encourage people.
Yes, I will be shouting it from the rooftops that everyone should enter and get out there and try, because that's what makes these shows so fabulous, and it can help everyone improve as a quilter. So.
Well, this has been fun talking to Kimberly Imo. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week for an all-new show.
Thanks, Pat.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.